and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit 30-minute weekly audio podcast primarily for and by amateur astronomers in the UK. Available only online, AT UK is a virtual meeting point for the amateur astronomy community. Each episode is an MP3 file which can be downloaded automatically with a free subscription via one of the many podcast readers. I use iTunes. My name is Gurbir Singh, and I host AT UK. I am not a scientist, nor am I an astronomer. Topics of discussion have no fixed boundaries other than their relevance to amateur astronomy. Each week's episode consists of pre-recorded conversations with individuals discussing the roles, lives, and achievements of amateur astronomers and their hobby. More about AT UK at www.astrotalkuk.org. If you have a topic for discussion, drop me a note on info@astrotalkuk.org. AstroTalk UK, amateur astronomy, expert opinion. Episode 18, Sunday, June the 1st, 2008. European Space Agency. Since the days of Sputnik and Apollo, space technology has matured to an extent that it's almost a routine commercial enterprise. China, India, and Japan are well-established players, in addition to USA and Russia. Later this year, or perhaps early next, the private sector, Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic, will embark on space tourism. Since its establishment in 1975, ESA has come a long way. The original 10 founding member countries has now grown to 17 with the broad mission to explore space. All member countries are European, as you would expect, except one. With the same disregard for geography by which Israel joins the Eurovision Song Contest, Canada also plays a part in ESA. Here's a quick summary of some of ESA's activities. Galileo is the name of Europe's own global navigation system, independent from, but interoperable with, American GPS and Russian GLONASS. It will be the very first civilian global positioning satellite system. Currently, Galileo has 3 satellites in orbit, and eventually, by 2013, when it comes into operation, it will comprise of 30 satellites, 27 plus 3 active spares. Earth-based experiments have discovered bacteria living only off methane in the depths of the permafrost in Greenland. Using radar, ESA's Mars Express has detected water ice under the surface of Mars. Could Mars, which also has an atmosphere, glaciers and volcanism, harbour primitive subterranean life? Venus Express, launched in 2006, is currently in orbit and measuring the composition and physical characteristics of Venus. BP Columbus, due to be launched in 2013, it will be the first European spacecraft to Mercury. Rosetta, launched in March 2004, it is ESA's first mission targeting a comet since Giotto in 1986. After entering orbit around the comet 67 Churyumov-Gerasimenko in 2014, Rosetta will release a small lander, Philia, onto the icy nucleus. In October of this year, ESA will launch in tandem Herschel and Planck. Both will end up in the L2 Lagrangian orbit. Herschel is a huge 3.2-meter telescope for observing the universe in the infrared for around 3 years. Planck will examine the cosmic microwave background radiation. If you missed out on Astronaut Wanted, No Experience Required, here's another chance. Last month, ESA initiated an astronaut recruitment program. You have to be from one of the 17 member countries, and you can even apply online. David Southwood has been ESA's Director of Science since May 2001. He's an academic and an accomplished scientist. He speaks several languages and has worked on a variety of space missions, including leading the team that built the magnetometer for the Cassini orbiter of the Cassini-Huygens mission, now orbiting Saturn. The following conversation with David Southwood was recorded at the Space Conference. Incidentally, thanks to the guys at space.co.uk, Paul and Martin, and Cy from Speed of Light Productions, a link to a video of this conversation is available on astrotalkuk.org. David Southwood, welcome to AstroTalk UK.
Hello, it's very nice to be here.
As the director of the European Space Agency, is it a tough job?
You lose a lot of sleep. It has real ups and it's real downs. but I think the ups are much more prevalent than downs. I mean, when you make a mistake, it involves millions, so inevitably you sweat a lot.
But it's a fascinating period in history to be doing the job that you're doing.
At this particular time, yes. It's a great 50 years, the 50 years of space that we've had. I was very young at the beginning of the space age, and I never dreamt I would, even feel I played a minor role in it. Mm-hmm. I've been very, very lucky, and it's been a terrific time although I probably at some point in my career expected us to have colonies on at least the moon by now. Mm-hmm. In other respects, space has changed things absolutely beyond my expectation or comprehension. I mean, I drove here today using satellite navigation. That would have been magic, to be able to just key in and be told at each turning on the road which way to go. That's from space, and I can tell you in 1957, that was magic. It was witchcraft.
Many of the familiar projects that the Human Association associate with, mainly Cassini-Huygens, is something that's been a fantastic success. Why don't we have more projects over a short time scale? At the moment, we have to wait years or decades.
People like politics, and politics means you have to spend a lot of time getting anything started. Mm-hmm. Moreover, we don't have a large enough budget to just think we'll do this and this and this. We have to do this, then this. Things have to come in series, not in parallel. And that's a budgetary issue. But also, I think politics plays an enormous amount of... we're human, mm-hmm. and we like to argue with each other, and we like to all try and take advantage of each other. So the political process of getting something going is as long as the implementation process. Mm-hmm. Cassini-Huygens, you mentioned it. I started really involved in it in 1882. And the launch was in 97. So that's 15 years. And it's not been up there 15... It's not been at Saturn for 15 years yet. It's been at Saturn for 4 years.
And that is a wonderful success story. Yeah. Private investment, is that something that the European Space Agency can take advantage of?
Well, it is in some regards. In the telecom area, we're certainly taking advantage of private investment. You have to make sure that public money isn't being unduly exploited. I mean, we're civil servants, just like everybody else. But of course, in areas where we're close to market, you probably should say that an entrepreneur should be asked to step up to the mark if they're really capable of taking a technology development we've done, and then they can turn it into something that's exploitable for them, but also for the people who use the service they provide.
But your experience of private investment associated with Deagle wasn't all that positive.
I think that was pretty negative. I mean, I listen, Colin Pillinger, I have the highest admiration for, and I want to say a word against him doing something that was close to impossible. He got private investment into space science, but I think, frankly, it is not the way for space science to go. Mm. And Beagle has some very positive lessons for us, but also some important lessons as to paths we should not go down.
And partly, Colin and other similar projects are forced into this position because of the lack of government investment.
We're all forced into all sorts of positions from lack of government investment. It's very easy to blame the government, but frankly, we live in a democracy. So the government is our government. We voted for them. We form the politicians, and the politicians are responding to what the general public wants. Most politicians are not interested in alienating the general public, so we're all responsible. I don't buy blaming the government. That's too easy. I'm a person who believes you get into things. You don't stand outside saying, I want to do this, how do I do it? You get in and you try and work out how to get the system to do what you feel it ought to do. And I think it's very dangerous to say the government should provide more money. You should put the government in the position that it has to provide the right amount of funding.
One of the things I heard you say this morning was how to involve the broader public into processing some of the data that comes down from various probes, including Cassini-Huygens. You're very much in favour of the SETI at Home project, the Stardust at Home, similar sort of thing, and the recent Galaxy Zoo. Distributed computing, that would be to involve not only the public, but it would also be a way of addressing the...
I believe in getting involved. Mm-hmm. And I have to say this is part of getting involved. The only reason I like astronauts is because if you see an astronaut do something, an ordinary human being feels a vicarious involvement. They think, there but for fortune would go I. Mm-hmm. And for me, involvement is what it's about. What I like about the projects you've mentioned is people can take part, and what I particularly like about the projects you've mentioned is that the project couldn't take place without the mass involvement. What I don't like is the idea of scientists being slowed down by having to use unskilled labour or whatever. What I like is using unskilled labour to do exciting things. I must say, something else I like the idea of in a very similar vein is to take people beyond where they could ever go, but take them to real places. A virtual reality can give more people a sense of what it might be like to stand on the surface of Mars, for example, than we're ever going to be able to do by running a tourist service there. And I believe we're human beings, and I believe the most important way for human beings to live is to be involved in things, is to join in, is to feel part of something, feel part of your society, to feel part of your government, I'm afraid, and part of the cultural endeavours of your society. And what I love about these particular projects is it allows very young people, not highly trained people, to realise their bit matters. Mm.
European Space Agency collaborates with NASA and the Russians. Do you see development in that collaborative field with China, India and Japan in the future?
At the moment, we probably collaborate more with Japan than... Well, it depends. In different areas, we collaborate on different things. But I would say I spend more time in cooperation with Japan, with China. We're continually talking to China. We just had a very successful mission, just finished, Double Star. Chang'e, the lunar orbiter, we are providing support to the Chinese for that. Basically, and India, we have instruments being launched on Chandrayaan later this year, going to the moon with the Indian space program. Their start of space science. They've got a very big space program, but it's very applications-oriented. They now feel self-confident enough to start doing space science. First place they're going is the moon. We're part of that. Myself, I see space science in particular as neutral territory. It's where nation can speak unto nation. And I think one should. I mean, again, it's involvement. I believe that the best way that we human beings can best manage our planet or manage the environment of our planet is for us to learn to work together. And I think in these grand projects, we break the ice, we get people working together, and it's a major element of my program is to find effective international cooperation.
And that generates not only the successes out there, but a better quality of life for all of us down here.
I certainly hope so.
Thank you very much indeed, David Southwood from the European Space Agency.
Thank you for listening to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a non-profit project produced and recorded by Gurbir Singh. He nor any of the participants are paid for their contribution. AT UK's content is not validated against any authoritative source, and all the views and opinions are held by those who choose to express them. If you have a topic of interest you would like to discuss on AT UK, drop me a note, info@astrotalkuk.org.